Churban Beis HaMikdash. Churban. Sitting low to the ground. We're not meant to be manufacturing feelings. We're trying to transport ourselves back in time to understand or appreciate or feel the loss of something we never knew. To tap into Tisha B'Av, you don't have to go back in time. You don't have to journey through history, but tomorrow in the keynote, certainly we will honor and recognize and memorialize and moan and weep for the calamities throughout our millennia and our centuries, unimaginable, that have kept setting us back and back and wiped us out and wiped us out again and again. But to feel the pain tonight, and to sit and to mourn and to grieve for these next 24 hours, you don't need to go back in time. You simply need to be aware and to be a feeling person and to recognize and feel the pain of today. Churban is not only a description of two Batei Mikdash, which no longer have, but since that time, the Siluk HaShechina, since Hashem withdrew, since we were unworthy, we misbehaved, and we couldn't simply be kind to one another. No parent wants to be among their children when their children are at each other's throats. No parent wants to live together with their family, with their children, when the children dismiss and marginalize and call names and isolate one another. So Hashem withdrew. For 2,000 years since then, we've been paying the price of Churban. Klal Yisrael tonight is in a state of Churban. As we sit here on the floor, but safe and secure. Nobody here is waiting to hear the sound of a siren. Nobody here is identifying where is the closest shelter. Where can I run? Where can I hide? Which child do I bring under my arm and which do I grab their hand? But over the last 24 hours, 350 rockets have rained down on our brothers and sisters. And the Churban is not only their threat that they face, the Churban is not only the danger that they confront, the Churban is not, God forbid, any injury or worse they would suffer. The Churban is that as strong and as powerful and as mighty as we are, as much as we have returned to our homeland, as much sovereignty as we have, we are so proud we have something that could blow missiles out of the sky. Instead of doing what's necessary to eliminate the missiles and those who shoot them all together. Because that's Churban. To live in a world of fear and concern. For international opinion is Churban. To have to apologize for your right to exist. To have to build playgrounds that are bomb shelters is a state of Churban. Even as we've returned to our land, and even as we've been privileged in our generation to begin to feel the Eschalta, the Geula, make no mistake, Tisha B'Av is still observed. We're still sitting low on the ground as if Hashem is reminding us that it began yesterday and continues into this day, that we're still in a state of Churban. Our communities experienced Churbanos this past year. Our greater Boca Raton community. The loss of a child. The loss of a young man. Terrible diagnoses and illnesses. And challenges and loneliness. A shul where one of its rabbanim for 7 months hasn't been found because he has to dedicate all of his attention to a young, beautiful, innocent, pure girl who needs love and support. That's Churban. That too is Churban. But there's a different Churban I want to speak to you about tonight. It's not visible. You can't see it. You can't observe it. You can't record it. But this Churban is so real. And it is so painful. and it's felt by people who are in this room, and it's more likely felt by people who couldn't even make it to get to this room. Momentarily, we're going to begin Eicha with the words, Eicha Yashva Vadad. The Navi wonders out loud, woe unto the city who sits alone, Badad. Tisha B'Av, during COVID, you remember we spoke about Badad and Bidud, quarantine and physical distancing and physical isolation, and the tragedy of 2 years of people who were apart. And there are still those who are vulnerable, and still those for whom it's dangerous to come back. And while so much of the world, including all of us in this room to a degree, have moved on, there are still those, and we must not forget, who are physically distanced and quarantined, and bidud, and badad. But there's another type of badad. There's another type of isolation, of aloneness. And it's not being physically separated, but a feeling emotionally and spiritually alone. Because as the physical pandemic raged throughout the world, there was another pandemic that was building. It had begun already before COVID, before any of us knew that term or that word or took a test. This other pandemic was already beginning to spread, and its numbers were far and wide. And the pandemic has certainly accelerated. This other pandemic doesn't have a take-home test. This other pandemic, there is no vaccine for it. But it too is contagious. I wrote in the Weekly this week my article of the pandemic of mental illness, of anxiety, of depression, of loneliness. If you don't think this is a pandemic, if you don't think that Yashva Badad, there are people who feel so alone, I want you to think about for a moment and consider these facts. 44% of high school students describe, quote, feeling persistent feelings of sadness and hopelessness. Nearly half of the young people in our lives, 44% of high school students, with all the gizmos and gadgets, with all the luxury and prosperity, with all the comfort and affluence, with all the technology that is connecting supposedly online, 44% of our young people feel persistent feelings of sadness and hopelessness. It doesn't get much better for adults. The national rate of suicidal ideation among adults has gone up every single year from 2011. And most recent study in 2022 measures nearly 5%. So you'll say 5%, well, it's a small number, Baruch Hashem, it's 5%. But do you understand what that means? Do you understand for every 100 people in this room, 5 have thought that life is not worth living? 5 are living every day with such pain that they feel it would be easier to disappear, to be gone. 5 feel so invisible and so inconsequential and that they make no difference at all, that if they were to disappear overnight, nobody would notice. 5 out of every 100 people we know have thought about taking their own lives. And these numbers are going up, and they're trending in the wrong direction, because more and more people are living with shame, and they're hiding in the shadows, and they're feeling invisible, and they're feeling badad. They're feeling all alone in this world. If you've ever had a pain, a toothache, stomach ache, a migraine, you had a pain for a short amount of time, but it was overwhelming. It consumed you. People tried to talk to you and you said, I can't talk right now. My tooth is killing me. My head is killing me. I can't talk. It's just all encompassing and all overwhelming. But Baruch Hashem, that day, 24 hours, 48 hours, we're so blessed to live in a time that we can take care of and heal. The pain goes away. But do you know there are people, that intense pain, that overwhelming, all-encompassing pain, they live with that pain chronically. It never goes away. There are people physically who struggle with chronic pain. And that toothache or that migraine, imagine your soul. Your soul is aching. Your heart is broken. You don't know what's wrong. And you don't know how to make it better. And you can't help make it go away. It is a chronic, unending, unyielding, a pain that there is no relief. It's the pain of Eicha Yeshva Badad. A few years ago, a young man I know wrote me a letter describing his experience with drugs and how he was using them to deny and escape his actual problem. And his real problem, a brilliant young man, academically accomplished, an affluent family, all the everything a person could physically, materially want in this world. But his depression was suffocating him. And he wrote me the following quote. For months during that year, I would go to sleep every night hoping and praying. I simply wouldn't wake up the next morning. And every morning I would open my eyes and feel the crushing disappointment of having to endure another day. Moda'ana seemed to be mocking me. Just this past week, another young person sent me this text. I read you his words. I didn't write them, I didn't make them up, I didn't time them for tonight. Dear friends, if you don't know from this, count yourself among the most blessed. But this is what's going on, and this is the feeling that is around us. This is what we are confronting. This is what we have to address. And tonight, this is what we're sitting here mourning. He wrote, quote, I feel like a hopeless case and I'm just tired of feeling this way. Treatment does not work for me. Therapy and meds don't do the job. I just think that there's no way out of this darkness. I'm so lonely and scared to get out of my shell. I've created a force field so strong that only a worldwide pandemic can keep me from being the only one to have to stay in 24/7. It's Boca Raton, Florida. It's been almost 10 months of isolation. Not one person in my entire complex or the entire city of Boca can I call a real friend, except maybe the hospital staff. I am mentally ill. It is not fixable. My world is so small, no one to talk to. I isolate myself to get energy and I hate being alone. I know people are not meant to be alone and I'm so used to being alone after being so for 10 years. Probably tired of the sadness of the words I write and I wouldn't blame you for not continuing, but I need to write to feel okay at this moment. I am a waste of a life. I am a nobody loser piece of garbage. I wish I hadn't been born in this place we call Earth. Because I don't know how to get out of it without hurting myself. I just don't care about anything anymore. I feel numb. I watch TV all day and scroll Twitter and TikTok and watch things that mean nothing but give a quick hit of dopamine. I hate my life. But I will keep fighting the illness, and as the phrase goes, never give up, don't ever give up. I won't give up. Thank you for taking the time to read my words. Of course, we did all we could to help this young man. And to answer this call, essentially for help. But lest you think this is some outlier, some isolated case, maybe he's just one who's putting to words what so many are feeling. And even those who aren't feeling it to this extreme, And even those who aren't in the 5% who've thought of, God forbid, doing something about it. So many are feeling down and out and emotionally and spiritually tired. And Eicha Yeshva Badad. They're feeling so alone. And that is such a churban. It's such a churban. How many people are in so much pain? And it's such a churban. How little we have done to help them. Our Jewish community, Klal Yisrael, we know how to tackle so many things, so many problems we can throw money at. We start programs and we organize special camps and we start funds. We make sure that no one with any physical disability is limited or is alone. But what about the people with the invisible disability? Eicha Yeshva Badan. People with debilitating anxiety. People with depression. People who feel they don't belong. People who feel they're not worthy. People who wonder why they're here. What's the point? Eicha Yeshva Badan. How could it be we let them sit alone? So we sit on the floor tonight and tomorrow. And now is not the time to fix it. Now is the time to cry for it. Now is the time to mourn and grieve for the opportunities that we wasted and we missed. And for this I'm speaking to and about myself. Not only those with debilitating illness, but seniors and elderly, and singles, and those who are alone, cry and we mourn and we grieve, Aleila ani bochia, that we haven't checked in often enough, and haven't done enough, and haven't created enough opportunities and connections. And maybe this explains a peculiar halacha. Talmud Yerushalmi Maseches Tana says, Ein sholem b'sholem chaverim b'tisha b'av. One of the prohibitions of this day, of tonight and tomorrow, is that we don't greet one another. We don't say shalom. We don't say how are you. We don't give shalom aleichem. The Shulchan Aruch records this. Ein sheila shalom lechaveru b'tisha b'av. It's awkward, strange. You see somebody tonight when you leave, tomorrow, you come to Kinos, you take a phone call over the next 24 hours. It doesn't change at chatzos. It continues through the day. But it's the halacha. We don't greet, we don't say hello. Why is that? The Aruch HaShulchan writes, Sheila Shalom, also B'tisha B'av. Deinu Yom Shal Shalom. You didn't give a Shalom Aleichem? Shalom Aleichem, how are you? Shalom, peace, happiness, joy. Shalem, feel whole. Whole, peace. What are you talking about? Do you know who we lost this year? Do you know how many rockets are raining down? Do you know how many lonely people there are? There is no Shalom Aleichem today. In the middle of a sitting shiva, in the middle of a collective avelis, in the middle of mourning and grieving, who we could have been in the opportunities that we lost, there is no shalom. There is no shalom. He writes, Benakel lovely day schot v'kalas rosh. You give a shalom aleichem, you're going to shmooze, you're going to tell a joke, you're going to smile, you're going to laugh. Leitzanas, betishabav, kisheinu muchrach latzeis yeshu b'pinas beso. On tishabav, you sit in the corner, you're quiet, you introspect, you reflect, you grieve, you mourn, you're in pain. But the truth is, I've always wondered, it's a bizarre halacha. How did we get into this mess? How did we get into this problem? Because of sinas chinam. We mistreated one another. We were cold and cruel to one another. We were callous to one another. So how are we going to fix it on Tisha B'Av? Don't talk to one another. It always was bizarre to me. If there were a day of the year that you'd think, here's the halacha. When you leave Eicha, everyone must say hello to everyone. Nobody leaves the parking lot till you've greeted every person in the room. But it's the opposite. Keep your head down. Don't make eye contact. Don't say hello. No sheila shalom. Why? Why? After all, isn't the way out? Gemara in Brachos, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Lo Hikdimu Adam Shalom Me'olam. Nobody ever said Shalom Aleichem before him. So it occurred to me with this, I end. The normal behavior is you greet everyone, b'sefer panim yafos. But you know what that means? That you're also greeted, b'sefer panim yafos. Normally we're greeted. Normally we're acknowledged. Normally we're validated. Normally someone says hello to us and makes us feel we're a somebody. Normally someone gives us a bracha, shalom aleichem. But tonight and tomorrow, Tisha B'Av, it's the opposite. You know why we don't give a shalom? Because we don't get a shalom. We experience what it feels like to be an outcast, to be lonely, to be isolated, to be estranged. When you go through 24 hours and nobody looks at you, and nobody says hello to you, and nobody asks you, how are you doing? Nobody greets you, nobody smiles at you. You know what it's like after those 24 hours. To live like that, not for 24 hours, but to live, Badad, to live in a perpetual state of loneliness, of aloneness. So maybe that's why the halacha for these 24 hours is not just that we have to hold back from saying Shalom Aleichem, but we also live without Shalom Aleichem being said to us. That we are meant to walk out of Tisha B'Av knowing what it's like to feel alone, to feel ignored, knowing what it's like to feel isolated. Eicha Yashva Badad, to know what it's like to sit entirely alone. So tonight and tomorrow, we don't fix the problem. We sit and we cry and we mourn and we grieve. We feel such personal remorse. I know I do. Such pain and shame for how poor we've been, making sure that people of all ages who've disconnected and lost contact to struggle and suffer do feel so alone. So alone. Statistics and data, they don't lie. And if we want to avert the next tragedy of those 5%, or the churban of even the 95%, we don't think about or contemplate that worse, but still whose lives are churbanos. And tomorrow night, right after Tisha B'Av, we've got to lay the cornerstone of the Beis HaMikdash by making sure that nobody feels badad, by calling or texting or emailing or knocking on a door or offering an invitation. It's amazing, new research was just published. There was an article last week. What we think is so insignificant, what difference will one text make? What difference is one invitation? One email is not going to change their life. New research shows that when someone feels alone, a text message can save their life. A text message does more than any drug or pharmaceutical therapy. We have it in our fingertips. God gave us these devices. They're in our pocket. What's holding us back? Text. Check in. Thinking about you. You're not alone. You want to come over. You want to get together. How was your week? How was your Tisha B'Av? 10 Tisha B'Av. And to break not only the fast of food, but what should be a more painful fast, to break the fast tomorrow night by giving a Shalom Aleichem to everyone we can. For phones and emails and texts to light up, not only locally, everywhere we know, to think of people who are badad, who are all alone. And even before you break your food fast, before you take that first sip of coffee, send that first message. Take a moment in time, but it could mamish save a life. There are so many churbanos that we can't prevent and stop. But there are churbanos that we don't want to be sitting here on the floor next year, crying, mourning, talking about. There are funerals that we don't want to attend or officiate, or Shiva calls we don't want to pay. And it's in our fingertips to avoid them. By simply breaking that fast and giving that Shalom Aleichem and making sure that nobody ever feels badad again. Eicha can be found in the back of the Yerach Kolchumash or in the Eicha books. Begin the first paragraph.
Darkhay tiyah